Always an honor and a privilege to stand behind this lectern and see people that I miss. Been, you know, quite a busy couple of years for me, bouncing around different churches and filling in and giving pastors a break and helping churches as they find pastors. And so it's kind of a homecoming again. Last time I was here preaching, I was sick. So hopefully this will go better than it did last time. This past Easter, we had a great time as a family. We got together, my whole family, my mom's, all of my brothers and sisters were together. And I got a special treat, my grandchildren. And I know when I say that, that does not sound right. I am not that old. But my grandchildren came. And Atlas, being a two-year-old boy, just loves tractors. And when he comes to Grandpa's house, he wants to ride tractors. He had no longer got out of the car, and he comes running up to me, and he said, "Grandpa, tractors." So, of course, if you're a grandfather, that's what you do. You get up, and you go in the shop. And he walked in there, and he says, "Grandpa, you have a lot of tractors." And I said, "Your grandma says the same thing." And I start the tractor up, and it's a little tractor, but it is a diesel, so it's kind of loud. And for a moment, Atlas has a crisis of faith. The noise is loud. For a two-year-old, the tractor's big. He has a choice. He can just walk out. Too scary. I'll wait some other time. Or he can reach out to his grandfather, who he has, for some reason, learned to trust. But the crisis of faith doesn't last very long. Alice reaches up his hands to his grandpa, because he trusts me. And he gets to do an exciting experience, but he has to overcome that fear. And he has to trust, doesn't he? Again, he could have walked out. He could have just said, "No, this is too loud, too big. No way. I'll go out and do something else." But he really wants to ride the tractor. Your scripture today we're going to be looking at is going to be Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at the first six verses. Very interesting set of verses by King Solomon, we believe is the author of Ecclesiastes. It's a very interesting book. Sometimes you think that Solomon needs to be on antidepressants because it talks about life and it talks about some of the bad things in life. And you wonder sometimes, what is he trying to say? And I think in all of it, I think he tells us to enjoy life, to go out and do things, to experience life to its fullest. And for us Christians, I believe it teaches us something else, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But I want us to look at the first few verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land." Now, a lot of different meanings theologians have come up with for what Solomon is talking about. Why would you throw bread on the water? It makes no sense. Some believe this is a sign for us to be generous, to give to different people, different situations that are going on, because it will return to you, because you never know what may happen in the future. But I believe Solomon, being Solomon, is telling us that as opportunities arise, whether it's business opportunities or investment opportunities or whatever it is, opportunities that come to us, that we need to spread it out. We don't want to put all of our eggs in one basket. If a financial advisor is being truthful with you, he will tell you, don't invest in just one stock because something bad can happen. Diversify. It's interesting the language he uses here, because he says seven, which is kind of the biblical number for completeness, right? So you'd think seven would be enough, but he says no, even eight. Even one more than the complete number. What does this teach us? it teaches us in life we're going to have many opportunities to do a lot of different things. And he tells us to cast your bread, your valuable bread that you need to live on, to cast it out, to give it. This may be our time. It may be our money. But there are going to be opportunities for you to do some pretty incredible things with your life. But how many of us do those things? A lot of us are like Alice. We have that crisis of faith, and we just turn around and walk away. I think in my own life, and by the way, I mean, I tell every church this I speak at, these sermons are for me. All right, there's a mirror here. You can't see it. But this is Tom. This is a message for Tom. You guys just get to listen, okay? But how many opportunities have we had to reach out and do some pretty incredible things, even as a church? How many opportunities have you had to serve God in some pretty incredible ways with your money, with your time? And what do? You get scared. We'll get more into that here in a minute. But I want you to understand that we have things of value that we need to invest. Our money, we need to be investing wisely. Whether we're talking about personal wealth or we're talking about the church and the money that the church uses. We cannot do every ministry that's out there. I understand that. There is no way we can ever take care of every need there is. And we shouldn't have to, because that's why there's so many different churches, so many Christians. God puts on people's hearts different things. There are things that breaks the heart of you people that may not break the heart of another church, another group of believers. But sometimes to get something back, we have to give. We just can't sit and just expect things to come to us. We have to invest the time, the resources into these things so that we can see a return. Now, this next one is going to be really tough for Tom, okay? If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth, whether a tree falls to the south or to the north. In the place where it falls, there will it lie. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things in life, and connecting this with the first part of what Solomon's telling us, there's a lot of things in life that's going to happen that you have no control over. Another reason to be wise when you invest, because stuff happens in life. Things happen in life that you have no control over. I cannot control which way that tree is going to fall. There are people who are expert loggers who cut trees, and sometimes that tree falls in a way they don't expect. Things happen in life that you cannot manage. That's why it's wise for us to invest in a way that we know that we have all the bases covered that we can. A lot of times we get so wound up about a lot of things that we can't control, right? I mean, there are things that we get so uptight about. But the truth is, we cannot change the direction of the wind, can we? But now here's where it hits home. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Now, I have never used Steve, I don't think, as a sermon illustration, but I'm going to use Steve because I know he'll let me do it without beating me up later. But let's imagine Steve is a farmer. He goes out every day and he looks at the sky and he says, well, you know, I think I would plant today, but you know what? It might rain. The conditions may not be perfect. So, you know what? I'll just wait till tomorrow and I'll do it then. And the next day, Steve wakes up and he goes, you know, it's sunshining and it looks beautiful and the weatherman's not calling for any rain, but you know what? It just might. So I think I'll hold off. And the word tells us that a farmer who has that attitude will never plant. When Linda Mason asked me what I was going to preach on, I said procrastination. I managed to set it plain like that, and she laughed at me. I don't think she believed me. But here we are. How many of you can relate to this passage right here? I will do it, but you know, not today. Because, you know, the conditions are not optimal. And then when the conditions are optimal, we find another excuse not to do it. I was hoping Pastor Brian would be here today because him and I, we used to play for a coach that was, used to tell us that excuses are like, well, an anatomically part of the human body that I won't mention here up front. Everybody's got one. We all got excuses, don't we? Why we don't do things. Why we can't do things. Every one of us has an excuse why we don't do the things that we know we need to do. And this falls within our Christian walk as well. All of us know what. But we're waiting for the optimal, perfect conditions. And you know what happens when we wait for the perfect, optimal conditions? It never gets done. Because the conditions will never be perfect. You know, you think about the faith of a farmer. Steve goes out there and he plants. He buys seed. He invests money to put something in the ground. And he has no idea what the weather's going to do. He has no idea what's going to happen. He puts it in the ground and he prays that everything will go right. But if he just sits at home and goes, well, it's just not perfect, it never gets planted. Here is the problem with the church in America. Here we are. We're all waiting around for the perfect conditions. God's called us to do certain things, but not today, God. Not today. I'm waiting for just the right time. And you know the sad thing is we're all getting older. Time is ticking. I have grandchildren, by the way. That's not right. It seems like yesterday I was running up and down the basketball court. It seems like yesterday Ed and I and Pete were running around the bases on Trucker Field. I couldn't run to first base if I tried. As I speak, my shoulder hurts. My knee hurts. And all the while, we wait for the perfect time. If you wait for the perfect time, it's never going to happen. I'm sorry. We live in an imperfect world. It never is going to be perfect. Not on this side of heaven, anyway. So maybe there's something that God's called you to do, and you're waiting for the perfect time. Now's the perfect time. Because it's not going to get any better than what it is right now. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Amen and amen. I don't understand what God does and why he does what he does and why we are in this position we're in and why things happen. I don't know why. God knows why. We don't understand how when a seed gets planted, how that little dot grows into a mighty whatever you want to say, whatever you plant. There's things that happen in life that we cannot comprehend. This is where the faith element comes in, where we have to just trust God that even though we don't know what's going to happen and we don't know how God works, that we trust and we put all of our faith in him. We reach our hands up like Atlas did to me because we trust our Father that he's going to take care of us and he's going to see us through. And we raise our hands to him and say, Father, take me. I want to go on this adventure with you. I don't understand why you've called me into this, but please take me. I'm going to trust you. I am such an introvert. And I'm getting worse. I told my wife just last night, I'm getting worse of being an introvert. I mean, people scare me. I mean, they do. I'll be honest with you. Usually when I'm in conversations, you know, I mean, I'll tell you this, but don't tell East Harrison that, you know, when I'm up there, there's just some people that I just like, I'm just kind of scooting away. I'm looking for the exits. How do I get out? You know? It's not that I don't like people. It's just they scare me. And then God, with this wonderful sense of humor, says, okay, I want you to go up and preach a bunch of people you don't know. And I want to say no so bad. I want to just sit where you're sitting. I want to do what you're doing. And then God says, no, I got this thing. I want you to go up. I want you to proclaim my word. And I'm like, there's people better than me to do this. But here I am. You know, I have to trust God that he's going to see me through this. I have to trust God if I'm going to move. I have to trust God if I'm going to do what he's called me to do. I've got to trust God. Even though I don't understand it. I don't understand why you go through some of the things that this church has went through as far as physical ailments, as far as all the things that we've experienced as a church. But I know God's in control. I know if we trust him and we just do our thing, he's going to see us through. But you see, that's where faith is really tough. That's where that crisis of faith moment hits. Because we really just want to walk out. We really just want to walk out. Sow your seed in the morning. And evening, let not your hands be idle. For you do not know what will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Here's another tough one. Work. Do something with your hands. You know, I have a Lazy Boy recliner at home, and it's a demon because it grabs me and it puts me down on that chair. And when I tell people, when I get that Lazy Boy in the evening, it's over. Tom is done for the day. The problem is that sometimes I sit in it a little bit too early. As I may have mentioned, I'm a grandfather. So I'm starting to pick up the grandfather thing, you know, like, you know, taking it easy a lot. The Bible tells us to work. Now, I'm not here to tell you that, you know, you need to go out and be physically, you know, just super. I'm saying that there's things that we need to be doing. One of the things about Ecclesiastes that really shines a light upon is that there's a lot of great things in life, there's a lot of tough things in life that we have to experience, but this is a gift of God. This life that we're given is a gift. And we only have so long to do so much. And if we're not doing the things that we need to be doing, then we're missing out because the clock is ticking. There's a theme that runs throughout the Bible about this. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, yes, and I should have had this marked. I'm kind of a rookie. Jesus heals a man born blind is what my heading says. And the disciples asked Jesus, you know, who sinned? You know, who sinned, his parents? Is this the reason why this guy was blind? And Jesus has this thing. It says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus knew his time on earth was limited. He had to get busy doing the Father's will. Isn't there also something in the Bible? Let me see. There's this parable about talents, right? And we have three examples, and the master gives each one amount of money to do something with, and the third one does nothing with his, because he's scared. He has no faith. He's like, I'm just going to hold on to this, and my master is going to be so proud of me that I didn't risk it. But we find out when the master comes back, he's not happy. The very least thing that this bank could have done is put it on, you know, got that real low interest rate at the bank. And at least that it made something. But he was so frightened that he would lose it that he did nothing. You know, as Christians, we're not judged on our salvation, but we are judged on what we do with the gifts that God has given us, the spiritual gifts. And I really truly believe that he's going to show us in that moment that at the times where I was leading you here, I opened the door for you here, and you didn't walk through it. Here was an opportunity. You could have changed someone's life and you stayed silent. Here was someone that you could have witnessed to who was really in a time of need, and you chose not to do anything. We live in a culture that it revolves around relaxation. We live in a world where we don't have to work sun up to sundown. Well, unless you're a farmer, you do. But in many cases, we don't have to do that. We have wonderful retirement plans, and that's wonderful that we don't have to work until we die. It's good. But we have become a culture where all we want to do is to be entertained. We all have our pocket $1,000 computers that we carry with us that entertain us. We have tablets. We have computers. We can do so much stuff and really do nothing at the end of the day. But the teacher, Solomon, knows something about life, and he's telling us that it's short. We only have so long. And I know maybe some of you younger ones here are like, oh, I've got plenty of time. Well, I thought that once too, and now I'm a grandfather. And I don't know where it went. I really don't know where it went. I want to really encourage you. If God's laid something or someone on your heart, this is the perfect time. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? And how many of you kept them? How many of you said, I'm going to pray more in 2024? I'm going to be more involved in the church. I'm going to go out and do some things because I know that's what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. But you know, it just seems like there's never enough time. John Piper famously said that Facebook was invented by God to show us we got plenty of time. We got more time than what we think we do. So what are we doing with it? Are we casting our bread upon the waters? Are we kind of hoarding our bread because we're afraid we don't know what might happen? I'm not telling you this morning to go out to that new casino in Terre Haute and put everything on red. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you to go out and spend $2 million on a new church. That would be foolish and unwise. We have to have some wisdom and discernment here, but when we have opportunities, we need to take those opportunities. When we want to get closer to God by reading His Word, by praying, we need to do that. And if there's sin in our lives that we keep saying that, you know, we'll get rid of that tomorrow. We'll repent of that tomorrow. It feels too good today. It's exciting today. It's fun today. But tomorrow, I'll get right with God. One of the things that has been a real eye-opener for me as I've gotten older is there's people my age dying. You know, when you're in your 20s and your 30s and even your 40s, you don't really, it's always somebody else. It's never you. And then when you get older, you start realizing, hey, wait a minute. I'm not going to be around forever. It's sobering, but true. So I guess what I'm saying this morning, I'm going to wrap this up, is do it now. Whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be even spiritual things. Maybe there's a job opportunity that you are looking at that, you know, would be scary. But you think you might like it. do that. Go for it. If I would tell you anything that Solomon's trying to tell us, enjoy life. Enjoy the relationship with God. Enjoy the time that He gives you. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the things that God has placed and given you. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't forget Him. Don't forget what He's called you to do. Don't forget that He wants to have a closer relationship and walk with you. Don't forget that. And don't forget that there is things that you can do, I don't care how old you are, that you can work and be a blessing to other people. Just a word of encouragement. Maybe you feel like I can't do anything. Let me tell you something. I'm standing here today because there are people in this church, many have went on to be with the Lord, got their reward, who encouraged me, who just had a kind word. And I remember preaching the first time when Pastor Keith was here. And I remember preaching my first sermon, and it was horrible. Oh my gosh, it was horrible. But nobody came up to me and went, "Man, that's horrible. You need to stop. You need to stop now." No. Because I had people in my life who encouraged me. Maybe that's what God's called you to do, just to be an encouragement. Anybody can do that. I don't care how old you are. You can be concerned for people. Maybe going through a tough time, just pick up the phone. Say, "Hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you today. I want God to do some incredible things in your life." You don't have to be a pastor. As I've shared, the last time I think I shared this, last time I was here, and I share this a lot because I think this is where we are in the church in America, is that we pay the pastor to do our job for us. And I know that might hurt, but it's true. All the stuff that God's called us to do, we just pay someone else to do it. We don't want to mow our yards, we pay someone else to do it. We don't want to trim our tree, we pay someone else to do it. That's what we do. That's America. But when it comes to the church, when it comes to following Christ, the pastor is supposed to prod us and spur us to do good works. But we reverse that. We pay him to do all the stuff that we don't want to do. And then we're upset when it doesn't seem like things are going real well. Because, one guy versus 50 or 60, who could get more done? And then we're just so upset when it just doesn't work out. What happened? Maybe it's because we haven't had the faith, the venture of faith, to do what God's called us to do. We're not reaching out to our Father on the tractor. We're walking away and letting somebody else do it. Don't be that way. Find what God's called you to do and do it. Do it today. Don't wait for the perfect conditions, because it's not going to happen. That's why it's called faith. Would you pray with me? Father, what a blessing and honor and thrill it is to stand behind this little podium again. Father, I know in the dictionary under procrastination there's a picture of me. I know it. So easy to put off the things I know need to be done. Father, so many times I've held the bread for myself and I've not cast it upon the waters. Because that's scary, and it might mean I might lose something that I hold dear. Father, you've never blessed unfaithfulness. The word tells us the only way we can please you is by faith. And faith means doing things that scare us, and only through you that we can accomplish. So, Father, I pray this morning that we are a people that are casting our bread. That we are a people who aren't waiting for the perfect conditions. We're busy now, because your word tells us there's a limited amount of time that we have. There are people that need you. There are people who are hurting. There are people who are in desperate need, that if you were here, you would be pointing your finger in that direction and be telling us to go and do. So, Father, open our eyes. May we be the people you called us to be. I pray this in your name. Amen.